Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Isaiah. I almost said the gospel of Isaiah, but that wouldn't be wrong. It really wouldn't. 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah, just like there are 66 books in the Word of God. This is the most messianic chapter in all of the Word of God. When I say messianic, I'm speaking of the Messiah. I'm speaking of Jesus Christ. Oh, let me make sure I got my mic on. I think I turned it on. I did. All right. 364 days till Christmas again. Can you believe it? Man, when I was a little boy, I was a real downer. It was usually about noon on Christmas Day. From there on out, it was downhill the rest of the year until we got to the fall or even got to December, and they'd say 25 shopping days till Christmas. Used to be on CJIC out of Sioux, Ontario on our black and white TV. I used to remember that all the time, and I'd count it down, get up every day and look and see how many days were left. Because for me, at that time of my life, Christmas really wasn't about the incarnation. It wasn't about Jesus. I didn't know anything except that it was about as a little boy, I'd get some gifts that I didn't get any other time of the year. And I've learned so much more since then. And I am so grateful for the God that the God that we serve. And I want to say, like I said last Sunday morning, Christmas is big doctrine, the incarnation of Jesus. And I want to, before I get real serious in this message, I want to thank all of you ladies for all of the little knickknacks we got at our house for Christmas. It's kind of been overrun, more and more knickknacks ever since that ladies' meeting. By the way, I got up the next morning. I went to bed before the ladies were done, and I went to bed, went into the bedroom. I turned the lights out. I was gone. The ladies were out there just a buzz. They were having a big time. I got up the next morning, and there were brand new knickknacks all over the house. So thank you, ladies. 45 years of knickknacks have been accumulating at my house. I made the mistake of mentioning it in one sermon, and all of a sudden, all kind of the place has been taken over. So, I do rejoice in that. Let me tell you where we're going to go. I was talking when Debbie was talking, so I didn't hear what she said. That works well, doesn't it? Let me tell you where we're going to go the next couple of weeks. Next Sunday morning, I'm going to be preaching a message on the vision, the purpose, and the plan for Fundamental Baptist Church. I trust you'll come, and you'll come with an open heart, and you'll pray all week long. God, the year 2022 is before us, and if you tarry long enough, I want this year to be the best year I've ever had for the glory of God. If you come with that attitude, your heart will be blessed next week, and you will be challenged as well. And then the week after that, the second week of the new year, I'm going to be preaching on the coming world government. I am shocked at how brazen major networks, the major networks, have become in talking about a new world government. I am shocked at unbelievers that don't even know what they're talking about, and they're talking about this new era that the world is coming into. I want to preach on the coming world leader and the coming world government on the second Sunday morning of January. If you would be praying about that, and spread the news just a little bit. And by the way, I'm not a conspiracist. And what we read in the Bible is not conspiracy. You've got to know that, all right? So I'm going to preach in Bible. I'm looking forward to that day. But Isaiah 53 is what I'd like to read this morning and preach just a little bit. Stand with me and let me read about three verses before we really get started here. Isaiah and chapter 53. Sooner or later, you've got to leave, I'm talking to everybody here, including this preacher, you've got to leave your dream world of make-believe doctrine and face God, sin, and judgment. Sooner or later, We've got to get to the place in our Christian walk or our non-Christian walk where we leave the dream world of make-believe doctrine that we have kind of put together in our heads and minds and face the facts of God, sin, and judgment. That's reality. It says in verse 1, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Father, we come to you this morning, and we know, like Israel of old, there are many people in the world today that don't recognize who you are. You're at work right here in our midst, and we don't even acknowledge it. Lord, for the unsaved, that's understandable. For those that are born again, it's inexcusable. God, may we recognize your hand in our lives, and this your church, and the day and age in which we live and what you're trying to do. And God, may we not be the guilty of rejecting you like Israel did. Instead, we pray that we'd all be a part of that redemptive work and be able to bask and enjoy the rewards that are promised to those that stand for you. God, make this message this morning live, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to make much of Jesus. Everything I can do this morning, if nothing else gets done, I want to exalt Jesus. It was Jesus that said, and you're well familiar with this, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. In the book of Acts, in chapter 19 and verse 17, it says in Ephesus that the name of Jesus was magnified. It was the apostle Paul that said, for I've determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. There were Grecian worshipers that were come to the city of Bethsaida, and they were there for the festival. And they walked up to Philip, and they said to Philip, sir, we would see Jesus. And Philip went and told his brother Andrew. And Andrew and Philip went to Jesus and said, Jesus, there are Grecians here, and they want to see you. They said, sir, we would see Jesus. And Jesus looked back at them and said, the hour is now come when the Son of God is to be magnified. And I want you to know, we are living in that day today. We, as children of God, as a New Testament church, we are to be exalting Jesus Christ. Would to God that every single born-again believer, every member of Fundamental Baptist Church was someone that magnified Jesus, that Jesus would come into every conversation, that there would be people that we would be people that hand out gospel tracts time and time again, that we would be an evangelistic church. Would to God that every church that preaches the Bible, that stands on the Word of God, or at least claims to, would become an evangelistic church. That is our calling in these very last days of the church age. In Isaiah, and Isaiah is one of the major prophets of the Old Testament. He is a major writing prophet. He is the prophet to the southern kingdom, to the tribe of Judah, to the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom has already been overrun by the Assyrians. And then after that, the Babylonians. And after that, the Persians. And after that, the Greeks. And after that, the Romans. So the dark days are coming. And that's what I preached last Sunday morning. I think I did, in Isaiah and chapter 9. This morning, we go to Isaiah and chapter 53. And it is the most messianic prophecy chapter in all of the Word of God. There's so much, I'm not going to be able to preach it all. You're going to read it, and you're going to read some phrases, and you're going to think, oh, I know what that's talking about. Oh, I know what that's talking about, but I don't have time to preach it because there's only so much time in a Sunday morning message. And I trust that you'll understand what is being said here. He starts out by saying Israel has turned its back on Jesus. That's modern day terminology. I want you to know that I am not anti-Semitic. I want to say that all the time. I want you to know I love Israel. It wasn't too many years ago I found out we have a Jewish heritage. But that's not the reason I love Israel. I love Israel because the Bible commands us to love Israel and the people of God and the Hebrews. Even though they may be walking, for the most part, are walking in darkness today, we are to pray for them and we are to love them. In fact, I think the Jews really got it together with these seven-day feasts. And the truth is, I'm trying to become a little bit more that way. We had Christmas dinner on Thursday. We had a Christmas dinner on Friday. We had a Christmas dinner on Christmas Day. And you know what we're having this afternoon? Another Christmas dinner. The family's just a little bit too big. You know, it's hard to get everybody together all at one time. So I got, waiting for me today, I got turkey and mashed potatoes and gravy and pie, and it's all waiting over there. There's nothing anti-Semitic about me. I want you to know that. But Jesus fulfilled all of that, really fulfilled all of those feast days. It says in verse 1 of Isaiah 53, "Who hath believed our report?" Israel struggles with the Messiah. They are looking for the Messiah yet to come. I'm talking about Orthodox Jews. And he's already come. And his name is Jesus. And he fulfills 400 plus messianic prophecies when he was born and lived and died and rose again. The Jesus that is the Messiah, he has already come. But he says here to the tribes of Judah, the southern kingdom, "Who hath believed a report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. And he hath no form nor comeliness when we shall see him. No glory, no majesty, not when he came to Bethlehem. There is no beauty that we should desire him." He was nothing special as far as looking at when he walked this earth for 33 years. He was despised and rejected. John chapter 1 says he came unto his own and his own received him not. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Total rejection. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. When Jesus, the Son of God, came and visited this earth 2,000 years ago, the nation Israel, he came for the world, but the nation Israel, his own people, they rejected him. Not everybody. The early church was a Jewish church. The apostles were made up of Jews. The gospel went first to Jerusalem and then Judea and then Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. But the nation, they turned their back on the Son of God and crucified him. You know the gospel story. And they yelled, "Crucify him. His blood be upon us and our children." Wow. And they turned their back. They rejected him. Go to 2 Corinthians in chapter 3. Turn over there as quickly as you can. I want to hear pages rustling. 2 Corinthians and chapter 3. It says in verse 14, Paul addresses this with the church of Corinth. "But their minds were blinded." He's talking about the veil that is over the eyes of the Jewish people concerning Jesus being the Messiah. That veil was put there because they rejected him. He said, "But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ." They do not understand the prophet Isaiah. They don't understand the 53rd chapter. They don't understand that he was going to be, the Messiah was going to be born in a manger and wrapped in swaddling clothes and born of a virgin. They didn't understand that he was going to be born in Bethlehem, because all that's just blinded. He says, verse 15 says, "But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." The one thing that takes away the veil of blindness is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Male or female, Jew or Gentile, first or last, whoever it might be, if they'll come to Christ, receive Jesus as their Savior, all of a sudden they know who the Messiah is. They understand, everything starts to click, and they have understanding that they did not have before. Even the Jewish mind is promised that the veil will be taken away if they just receive the Christ of the gospel. Let's go back to Isaiah again in chapter 53. You know the story. We just rehearsed it a couple of weeks in a row. There's no room in the inn. He's born in a stable. The stable became his throne, wrapped in swaddling clothes. They became his robes. Laid in a manger. No royalty. Humble shepherds. months and months and months later, the Magi show up, the wise men provide for them to flee off into Egypt, which was another Bible prophecy. It's an amazing, amazing story. But yet, the nation Israel, Isaiah in chapter 53, that prophet is telling Israel, it's a dark day and it's going to get darker. But the Messiah is going to come. And if you'll just hear that message and receive Christ as the Messiah, the friend of sinners, the Savior of your soul, He'll give to you eternal life. And then that way, the best is yet to come. By the way, God is not done with Israel. Israel is going to be dealt with again during the tribulation. And I want to say this because I think there might be one person listening. I had this conversation this last week with them. The church is not Israel. This is not replacement theology. The church is the bride of Christ. Israel is the bride of Jehovah. God is not done with Israel, although Israel rejected him. Much of the early church was a Jewish church. And there are Jews that are saved today, and they're part of the bride of Christ. But the whole nation Israel is going to be dealt with during the tribulation. That's a different day. That's soon to come. So the law isn't on our shoulders as children of God, as New Testament Christians saved by grace. Boy, I'm going to start preaching another message there. I'm loaded for bear on that. I am. Man, I've heard it a couple of times, so I know there's something going around on the internet that people are reading. And I'm telling you, you don't have to go back to the weak and the beggarly things of the law. That's what the Bible says in the book of Hebrews. We've got Jesus. Amen. We've got that one that fulfilled the law. We've got the one that fulfilled all that ceremonial law. You don't need to go back to that. Glory to God for that. Glory to God. All right, let's read verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs. This is the redemptive work. He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, our pains, our sicknesses. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. We thought that God, the world thought that God was punishing a sinner when he was nailed to the cross. What the world did not realize was that the Son of God was making propitiation for our sins. The man that was hanging on that cross was innocent of all sin. No guile ever found in his mouth. No sin ever upon his body. Now, he was the perfect Son of God, the Lamb of God, the only one that could take away my sin, because I'm far from perfect and I'm a sinner. And so I needed the Lamb of God to be my substitute, to die in my place, to shed his blood, not my blood, his blood, that I might have redemption, that I might be born into the family of God. And you've heard me say this many times. So in my standing, I got born again in fifth grade. When God the Father looks down at this sinner man, he sees the Son, he sees the righteousness of none other than Jesus Christ. I'm still a sinner, but I'm saved by grace. I put my faith in him. And the prophet Isaiah is writing to the nation Israel and said, who hath believed our report? Man, you just don't understand. You don't recognize the price that was paid for your sin. He's borne our griefs. He's carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone unto his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. I often quote the first half of that verse, first two thirds of that verse. All we like sheep have gone astray. We're all sinners. None of us have earned heaven. None of us deserve God's righteousness. None of us. The latter part of that verse says, even though you've all gone astray, we have all gone astray, the Lord hath laid on him, the Messiah, the Lamb of God, the iniquity of us all. Man, all my sin was on Jesus when he was hanging on the cross. And he shed his blood. And he paid a great price. The redemptive work of Calvary. Verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He certainly could have. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Could have called legions of angels, but he took the pain. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare that his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, the two men that were crucified on either side of him, and with the rich in his death. And that was Joseph of Arimathea, that rich man's grave, tomb that he just borrowed for 3 days. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Hey, you realize we're reading prophecies? These are things that have happened. They happened 700 years before Bethlehem, 700 years before Jerusalem, when he hung on a cross and was put in a rich man's grave. You understand? This is messianic prophecy. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord, it was the will of God, to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, that's what I'm saying, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. That's the gospel. Amen. The death, the burial, and resurrection. Amen. He died for the sins of the world. Listen. Gospel is not static. That's what's wrong in so many churches. People live like it's not a real story. People preach, men stand up and preach like it's just another thought or some other doctrine, another kind of religion, and that's not it. The whole reason Jesus came to this earth is to seek and to save the lost. That's us. He went to the cross as the very Lamb of God and shed his blood. He who did no sin became sin for us, and we received his righteousness. Man, what a deal that is. Amen. Last verse of this chapter says, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, two evil men, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Let's go to John chapter 3. I want to go there this morning. John in chapter 3. I was talking to Greg before we had some prayer back here in my study before we come out to start the service this morning. And I was telling him the very same thing, kind of what I was telling you. There's so much here, man. There's so many prophecies. And if I stop and preach each one, man, we'll be here till this evening service and I still won't be done. And he said, just let her rip. Just let her go. I said, okay. You know what? If nothing else, I can end with John 3:16. So here I am. All right. John chapter 3 and verse 16. 25 of the greatest words ever recorded in the Holy Spirit. Look what it says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17 says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Good Bible words. Through the world through him, through Jesus, might be saved. He said, man, I got that, man. I'm glad that he died for the sins of the world. That means I'm saved. Well, not unless you receive him. There's a time and a place where you got to call upon God. I started this message out by saying, we've got to get to the place where we stop believing our make-believe dream world doctrines and face God, sin, and judgment. You say, Pastor, what do I got to do to go to heaven? Let me reword that. So everybody's saved? He came for the sins of the world? No, you've got to receive Christ. And you know what you've got to do to go to hell? No. Nothing. Read verse 18 right here. He that believeth on him is not condemned. That's the good part. That's what John 3:16 is about. That's what verse 17 is about. That's why he came. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He's the only way to heaven. And that word believed means put your trust in. That means you understand that what Jesus did on the cross 2,000 years ago, it's enough. That it was the Son of God that died and took your place in my place. So the only way Tim Rader could go to heaven, I don't have any righteousness. You say, oh, you've done some good things. No, I have no righteousness. Jesus as righteousness. And he imputes his righteousness to the sinner that calls on him and asks for salvation. Isaiah 53, the greatest messianic chapter, and no doubt the greatest messianic book, the book of Isaiah. And we're told of Jesus and how when everything's dark and all is lost, he would visit this world, the incarnation. God would make for him a body, born of a virgin. He would live a sinless life and go to Mount Calvary. He'd climb that hill, man of sorrows, man of grief. It's with his stripes we are healed. That precious blood would be shed. He would dismiss his spirit with sin on his body. That's when God the Father looked down and turned his back on his son. And that's when the son went black. Read it in the Gospels. And Jesus said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Son of God. God the Father turned his back on his only begotten son because at that moment, he carried the sins of the world. The sin of Tim Rader. And he took it to the grave. Then he rose again. Amen. And he's here, ascended on into heaven. And this is his church. And he's going to come back and get us one day. The Bible tells us that by way of the rapture. But if you're here and you're not sure you're born again, I invite you to him. I never tire of preaching the gospel. Never. Because I'm sure there are people here watching live stream that have never heard it before. And now is your time. If you this morning want to receive Christ as your Savior, we're going to have an altar call here in just a moment. But first, I'd like to lead you in the sinner's prayer. If you want to be born again, it's as easy as this. The perfect Son of God so loved the world, so loves you, that he took your place in death on Calvary's tree, on the cross. And if you would receive what Jesus did for you there, you will be born into the kingdom of God, the family of God. It's just simply being sorry for your sin and inviting Jesus in, asking for forgiveness, and inviting Jesus into your life. If you would do that right now, right where you're seated, with your heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around, just pray like this, not out loud, to God in your heart. Pray these words, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. I deserve hell. I'm lost. And I want you to be my Savior. Come into my heart. Come into my life. I trust you right now for salvation. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you prayed that prayer this morning, you meant it. Anybody else? You say, I prayed today. I received Christ today. If you're watching by way of live stream and today you prayed and received Christ, tell somebody about it. You got to tell somebody about it. You call us. We'll help you.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.